Today happens to be the last Friday of the year 2018. It is customary in this part of the world that people try to come up with a New Year's resolution. How much is last, we don't know. But you know, everybody has a plan that at least I'll do this with the New Year. Keeping that, you know, theme in mind, I wanted to just talk about one concept. Maybe we can work on it as part of the New Year's resolution. And this comes from the verse in Surah Ali Imran, ayat number 102. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Basically, the verse is saying that, O you who believe, guard yourselves against displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as, you know, He deserves to be feared in the sense of when we fulfill the duties towards Him and in the fellow human beings, we have to be concerned about it. And then He says, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And do not die, but in the state of being Muslims. And this is where we see, you know, when I'm talking about this issue of, you know, coming with a New Year's resolution, I think the last statement, do not die, but in the state of being Muslims. It is two, you know, points in this sentence. One is that we have to make sure we are faithful and loyal to our faith till the last moment of our life. Because shaitan can come at any time. And one of the points when he approaches people is during the last days, when they are maybe going through suffering, illness, difficulties. And so that is where we talk about maintaining the iman till the last day. In the state of maut, we should be among Muslimin. And the second is that, you know, be among those till the last moment who are truly submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's interesting that the ayat begins with the words, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Allah is addressing the mu'mineen, the believers. Ends by saying that make sure that you are Muslimin till the last day. Which means we are talking about practical, you know, level of submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do we translate that into a New Year's resolution? The way I would put it, just as a thought, that, you know, let us make a commitment to be proud of our Muslim identity. Let us not shy away from saying that I'm a Muslim. You know, we are already there. This society in general has accepted us. Now we have at least two generations of Muslims born and raised in this part of the world. This is the only watan that they know. And so, you know, there is no need to shy away. The days are gone where you had to change your name, Muhammad, to Mo. You know, be proud of what you are. Use your own name. You know, and when it comes, who are you? Say, I'm a Muslim. You know, why you can't eat this or that? Well, you know, sometimes we say, well, I have some health issues. There's no health issues. Say, I'm a Muslim. You know, like other communities, they have also dietary restrictions and they don't shy from that. They say, you know, my faith doesn't allow me to do this. And so this issue of being, you know, proud to be Muslim is an important issue for us. Yes, you know, we as Muslims share many, many universal values with other faiths and community. But remember, we are different. There are differences, and we should be proud of our religious identity. Let me give you one example, two or three examples from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the cardinal beliefs that we have in Islam is the issue of nubuwwah. Tawheed, qiyamah, and nubuwwah. In nubuwwah, we do not only believe in Prophet Muhammad, We actually believe in him as the last of the prophets. So a Muslim cannot be somebody who only believes in Allah and Rasul. He has also to accept and respect the prophets who came before. From Adam to Nuh to Ibrahim to Musa to Isa to our prophet, salawatullah alayhi majma'een. But when the last prophet came with Quran, you know, he came with a distinctive way of doing things, especially when it came to the issue of ibadat, the acts of worship. He didn't say, let us just follow the community of my fellow prophets who came before that, because they also came from the same source. No. You know, look at the example of the weekly day for prayers. When Islam came, already Saturday was there as the holy day of the week for the Jewish community. Sunday was already there as a holy day of the Christian community. Rasulullah didn't say, okay, you know, let's take one or the other. After all, you know, I and Musa and Isa came from the same source. No, he wanted to have a distinctive, you know, Muslim way of doing things. And so we came up with Muslims, you know, the Prophet basically came up with this issue of a special day of prayer on Friday. Maybe in the future we'll have 3 days weekends, you know. But whether you have weekends or not, you know, there is a point to keep in mind that when we say Friday is the day of prayers, it doesn't mean it's a day of prayer for the whole day. It is during the time of Jummah that you are not allowed to engage in business and trade. But after the Salat is done, you know, Quran says, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, when this Friday prayer is done, you know, then spread around, go back to your work, وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, go and seek the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not necessarily a day of rest, but at least that prayer time is an important time for us during Fridays. Even if you look at this, you know, beautiful tradition we have, which is known as Adhan, which is to announce that it's time for the prayers. Jama'at prayer was already there in Mecca. When Prophet, you know, migrated to Medina, it was already there. But Adhan had not yet come in. Masjid al-Nabi was established. You know, Muslims would gather in the masjid for the Jama'at prayers. And many of the people in Medina were farmers, unlike the Meccans, who were mostly traders or merchants. You know, and so they came to the Prophet. They said, sometimes, you know, we are working in our fields, and we keep looking at the sun, you know, for Zawal time. By the time we realize it's okay, close to the Zuhr time, we quickly run and come to the mosque. By the time we reach here, we see that the Salat is already, the Jama'at is done. So let us come with a mechanism of announcing the time for prayers. You know, people came up with different ideas and suggestions to the Prophet. Some of them said, why don't we use the bell like the Christian church uses? Others came and said, why don't we use the trumpet as it is used in the synagogues of the Jewish people? Yet another group said, you know, well, the Zoroastrians give importance to fire. Why don't we lit a, you know, huge fire every time of the prayers, and by the smoke, people will know it's time for prayers. The Prophet didn't like it. He was waiting. He was waiting for a distinctive way of announcing the prayers, which will be especially for the Muslims. And he waited until Jibreel, according to our narration in the Shi'i tradition, Jibreel came down with the Adhan. And the Prophet then taught that to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he asked him to teach Bilal, and Bilal ends up becoming the first muazzin of the history of Islam. Salawat. So it's actually, you know, again, this tradition. He wanted to have a distinctive way of doing things, whether it is the prayers or it is the issue of the day of the week, or we are talking about Adhan. A side point I would make here, that when Bilal was chosen by the Prophet to become the muezzin, there were many, many Arabs there. Pure Arabs. Arab, Qurayshi, even Hashimi, they came to Rasulullah. They said, you know, you're asking him to do the adhan. He can't even pronounce Sheen properly. Instead of saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. You know, we are there. The Arabs are there. And Rasulullah says, doesn't matter. Let him say the way he is saying. This is how he can pronounce the best. By the time his azan reaches to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And this is a way of promoting, you know, this idea of equality of mu'mineen in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Irrespective of the color, you know, the tribe, or the language that they speak. Salawat manik parar. إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه صلوات الله سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. When it comes to the issue of, you know, maintaining our distinctive identity, we are not talking about, you know, not having good relations with others. You can only have good relationship with others if you know what you are. And this is where I'm saying, let us be proud of what we are. We are Muslims, followers of Islam, followers of Ali ibn Abi Talib. We are Shia, Isna Ashari. You know, you look at one more, you know, example from the life of the Prophet, is the issue of Qibla. You know, the direction that we face during the time of the prayers. It is very interesting to see that Masjid al-Haram was built by Ibrahim alayhi salam. Quran says that our name as Muslimin has been given to us by Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Prophet, whenever he was asked by the Jewish and the Christian community to follow them, he used to say, I follow the deen of Ibrahim. So that closeness, you know, and connection that our Prophet, you know, shows about following Ibrahim alayhi salam. So keep that in mind. The Kaaba is the house of Allah built by his command through and built by Ibrahim and Ismail. And the family of the Prophet, Banu Hashim, were the custodian from one generation to another till the days of the Prophet. But then later on, somewhere in history, in the time frame, where the people of Mecca, you know, the mushrikeen, the idol worshippers, became more powerful, they started putting idols in that Kaaba, or on the Kaaba also. So that was the house of God. Now it became a house of idols. The Prophet starts his religion, says, I am following the same deen as the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Namaz starts in Mecca. The Prophet is there. Even when he is there, what was the direction he was facing? Not Kaaba. majority of the people of Mecca were mushrikeen. And they had changed that Kaaba into a place of idols. And the Prophet, when he's there, he wants to have a distinctive way of doing things. Doesn't want to face the Kaaba. He's facing towards Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa. Hijrat happens, he migrates to Medina, where the majority had already converted, the two major tribes, Aws and Khazraj, had already converted to Islam during those early days. But there was a sizable Jewish community at that time in Medina when the Prophet migrated. And initially, you know, he formed an agreement with them, which is known as the First Constitution of Medina, as a peace agreement of how we will be the members of the same city and safeguard the security and peace for the city against any attack from outside. And that both communities, Muslims and the Jewish community, will have full rights to practice their own faith. And so initially for 1 year or so, even in Medina, the Prophet was facing Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. But then some from the Jewish community those days started using that as a point of taunting to the Muslims and the Prophet and saying, you are our followers, you follow our Qibla. You know, and yes, Jerusalem was their Qibla also. The Prophet didn't really like that. He felt hurt about by remarks. And actually, Quran describes his state at that time. This is Surah Baqarah, ayat number 144. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. At the night time, the Prophet actually used to go into the courtyard and look up. Wouldn't say anything. But as if, you know, pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, get me out of this. I don't want to be, you know, taunted in that way. And so the ayat says that, وَقَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ, that verily we see, turning your face towards the heaven in the middle of the night. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. O Muhammad, don't be worried. Very soon we will change your qibla to the qibla that you like. Look at the relationship between Abd and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't be distressed, don't be sad. We will change your qibla soon. And then one day, he was in this masjid, which is now known as Masjid al-Qiblatain in Medina, when you go for Hajj or Umrah, you go and visit there. In Zuhr, at Zuhr time, in the second rakah, Jibreel comes down. فَوَلِّي وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. O Muhammad, turn your face. The first command comes to him. O Muhammad, turn your face towards Masjid al-Haram. When he was in Mecca, he was facing Masjid al-Aqsa. Now he's in Medina, he's being told to face Masjid al-Haram. And then the ayat continues, وَحَيْسُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَةً. O Muslims, wherever you are, at the time of prayers, turn your face towards Masjid al-Haram. And even the commands are separate. First sentence is only to the Prophet, as a show of respect, that this is what you wanted, and I'm doing it. And then the command again comes for the Muslims in general. Salawat. And so, yes, the Prophet is the last prophet. You cannot be a Muslim if you do not believe in Isa as a Nabi. You cannot be a Muslim if you do not believe in Musa as a Nabi. But remember, Muslims have a different way of doing things, which is distinct even from the Ahlul Kitab. And we have to maintain that distinctive identity of ourselves as Muslims. Because in the same series of ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَبِعُ قِبْلَتَكَ. They will not follow your qibla, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِتَابِعْ قِبْلَتُهُمْ And you are not going to follow their qibla. Their qibla is one, your qibla is another. وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ And if you follow their wishes, after this knowledge has come to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّكَ إِذًا لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ You will also be among those who are sinners. And Rasulullah is ma'asoom, but the ayat is actually for us. You know, like we say, it's very common in Farsi, Arabic, even in Urdu. You're addressing one person, but the intention is to make somebody else hear that. In Urdu, what we say, or Gujarati? You are scolding your daughter, but the message is for the daughter-in-law. This is the style. فَإِنْ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ The address is to the Prophet, but the message is for the Muslims. And so this is where, you know, we respect all communities. We respect the right of every community to faith, you know, practice their own faith. And we also ask for our own right to be distinct in our own ways. And this is what is the universal value of Islam for all the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, give us the tawfiq to understand the wisdom of how do we maintain our identity and also maintain peace and harmony with the other communities around. Allahumma salli ala sayyid al-mursaleen wa shafi al-mudhnabin nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وعلي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان ما أحيى آثار البدو والطغيان هادم أمنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فرو البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون